the fear. Ministering through the fear. Acts 18, 5 through 17, let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much for what we feel in the house today. Thank you for our brothers and sisters that are here enthusiastically worshiping. Others that are here, as has been said, worshiping through the drudgery of life that they are experiencing at this time. But we thank you for them today and for their worship, their testimonies, and their praise. They encourage me and strengthen me and lift my spirit so that I can continue to be faithful as well. Thank you for them. Have your way in the Word today. If you want God to have His way in the Word, say amen.
Amen.
And I can't imagine that it would be any other way because He's had His way in everything else that we've done already. And it has been a blessing. True story. We preachers want to present a bold and confident front to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We want everyone to know that no matter what happens, God is going to take care of everything. And it's not just the preachers. As Christians, we want to show the world that living for God is always better than living for the devil. We want them to see the positive side of living for God. We want them to see our courage and make them see that God is someone who can absolutely be trusted. We want to present a strong side to the world. Put our best foot forward. We want people to see us as lions in the jungle. And we want people to know us by the Bible verse that says in Proverbs 28:1, the wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. We want our spouses to see us as trustworthy and committed to our marriages. We want our children to see us as infinitely loving and gracious, despite all their irritating and often despicable behaviors. We want our neighbors to see us as considerate and moral people. We want our employer and our co-workers to see us as dependable and hard-working. We want our customers to see us as honest and attentive to their needs. True story. And most days and most of the time, except for the occasional slip, we manage to do just that. We worship, we preach, we pray, we give care, we show up, we love and forgive, we overlook faults, we sacrifice a thousand things, and we do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. But no matter how determined and well-intentioned we may be, no matter how many ways God shows His power in our ministries and in our lives, there are going to be days when our fears and our inferior natures are just going to get the best of us. True story. While we may not have a breakdown in front of everyone, there are going to be times when we feel like we could do it. Next person that says the wrong thing to me is going to get it. If one more thing goes wrong, that's it. I'm done. If God doesn't come through this time, I don't know if I can keep doing this. It doesn't matter if you minister to a church with tens of thousands or if you are the only one taking care of an aging parent. Everyone on this highway of ministry is going to run right into the dark storm clouds of fear and doubt at some point, and maybe at many different points on this journey towards heaven. Everyone is going to be tempted to shut down and go back to the house and climb back into our little cocoon of safety. We're all going to be tempted to say, I've done enough. This is far enough. I cannot go any further. I've reached the end of my usefulness. Well, Brother Rob, not everyone struggles with that. Not everyone is so lame. Well, you might be right. But it's probably because you're not really doing ministry. It's easy to say that if you're not putting yourself out there. Amen. If you're not sacrificing for others, but you're only focused on yourself and collecting all the blessings you can get and you're making your own life comfortable, then yeah, you're probably right. But the greater the calling, the greater the sacrifice. And the greater the desire to please God and to help others, the greater the battle will be with all kinds of fears.
It says in Acts chapter 18, beginning at verse 5, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, Paul was occupied with the word, testifying to the Jews that the Christ, or the Messiah, the Anointed, was Jesus. And when they opposed and reviled him, he shook out his garments and said to them, "Your blood be on your own heads. I am innocent. From now on, I will go to the Gentiles." And he left there and went to the house of a man named Titius Justus, a worshiper of God. His house was next door to the synagogue. And Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord together with his entire household. And many of the Corinthians, hearing Paul, believed and were baptized. And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision. Let's read it out loud together. "Do not be afraid." Hallelujah. And the Lord spoke to Paul one night in a vision. Now, how many of you know God doesn't say anything just to be saying it? Amen. Don't be afraid. We're called speaking. And do not be silent. Amen. For I am with you. And no one will attack you to harm you. For I have many in this city who are my people. And he stayed a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. But when Gallio was proconsul of Achaia, the Jews made a united attack on Paul and brought him before the tribunal, saying, "This man is persuading people to worship God contrary to the law." But when Paul was about to open his mouth, Gallio said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of wrongdoing or vicious crime, O Jews, I would have reason to accept your complaint. But since it is a matter of questions about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I refuse to be a judge of these things." And he drove them from the tribunal, and they all seized Sosthenes, the ruler of the synagogue, and beat him in front of the tribunal. But Gallio paid no attention to any of this. And I'm preaching to you today, ministering through the fear. The Apostle Paul is wrestling with these exact things in our text today. You say, "Well, the great Apostle Paul, afraid? I don't think so." Well, maybe read the word there. Oh yes, true story. I know we like to hit the highlights, but if we're not careful, we can miss the little innuendos and insights that are thrown in there to give us pause and to instruct us in the little things that come to us unexpected. Amen. God gives us unexpected insights as a glimpse into what ministry is really like. And that at times fear can overwhelm us. And the Apostle Paul wrestled with fear. Fear of responsibility for lost souls. There's a fine line. If you come on too strong, you risk turning people off with your bad attitude and unwise comments. If you come on too weak, you risk ruining and missing an opportunity that may never come around again. That's why Paul said, "I am all things to all men, if by any means I might win some." He was concerned that he would mess up. Paul wrestled with the fear of accountability to God. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:11, "Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord," the King James says, "the terror of the Lord, we persuade others." He knew that he was going to be accountable to God. Paul worked skillfully to communicate hard truths to difficult people. He never gave up quickly or easily on reaching a soul. His own countrymen, the Jews, were often his worst enemies. But he did everything in his power to love them and reach them. He would have done even more if God would have allowed it. Amen. He would have even taken the punishment for them like Jesus did for us. I know we think of that as a weird thing, but that's what Jesus did for us. He took our punishment for our sins. And when you're really doing ministry and getting that close to God and trying to be more like Him, it may even cross your mind that if you could suffer on behalf of your children or on behalf of someone that you love or on behalf of the people, if I could die like Jesus did, maybe somebody else could be saved. Let the punishment be on me, but let their souls
be saved.
Oh, Brother Rob, that's a weird thing. I know it is, but it says, Paul said in Romans 9:3, For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Paul would hang in there with a soul as long as it took. Hallelujah. But at some point, you realize that you cannot reach everyone. And when the Jews in the synagogue in Corinth opposed and reviled him, he gave up on them for the time being and moved on to reach the Gentiles. But one thing Paul did not do is he did not back down from the truth about the Messiah, Jesus.
Amen.
Right. Hallelujah. Amen. It helps to have an experience with God.
Yeah,
because ministry is not easy.
Right.
Going up against strongholds in the culture, yeah, in religions is not easy.
Amen. That's right.
You're going to be at peril of your life at times. It's never easy to try to go against the devil's kingdom and to try to liberate people from his trap and his chains and the blindness that he's cast upon them. You've got to have an experience. Paul had an experience with God. He had, his personal conversion was so uncanny and powerful that he would not back down easily. Amen. And God's gracious miracles were too numerous that he was performing all the time, that he couldn't just throw in the towel and quit. Hallelujah. He said, I bring my body into subjection. And unless at any time after I had preached to others, that I myself would become a castaway. Why would he even say that? I'll tell you why. Because there was times when he wanted to give up. There were times when he felt like quitting.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Hallelujah. You can see all the miracles you want to see. It doesn't mean you're not going to be. There's not going to be times when you feel like giving up.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean there weren't times when he questioned, "Am I doing the right thing? If my preaching is going to cause so much trouble, maybe I should not be preaching." I told Sister Ashley, I guess I'll have to confess here today, or maybe it was somebody else, I don't remember. You know, so you talk to so many people, sometimes during the week you forget who all you talk to. But I said, you know, if I left the church right now, and something happened to me, or I moved away, or whatever, I know that after 30 years of ministry, and after 18 years of pastoring, that all that I have done to try to innovate and build relationships and point the people to the Word of God and build a church that's focused on doing the things that the Bible says to do, that I know that as soon as I walked out that door, the next service, they would go right back to doing things the way they always did them. Sometimes we question whether all that we're doing really matters. And if it doesn't matter, then why are we wasting our time doing it? And Paul wrestled with these things. Amen. Despite knowing better, we still wrestle with those things.
Right.
The devil still whispers his lies in our ears.
Right.
And our egos and on our insecurities at times, especially when we're weary and fatigued, will rise up to try to get us to take it easy.
Amen.
I mean, look, Paul was kicked out of the Jewish church. But he just walked out and started up a church next door. I mean, you got to think what's going on here. This is some pretty serious stuff that he's doing. This is a lot of tension and angry. I don't know if you know anything about the Middle Eastern culture, man. You see it on the news where they're throwing bottles and they're throwing rocks and they're throwing bricks. I mean, they get worked up about stuff. Paul was stoned more than once. And I'm not talking about on marijuana either. I'm talking about bad people getting after him. Hallelujah. And so all of this is taking a toll on Paul. It's taking a toll on his health. It's taking a toll on his sanity. And he's in constant danger of his life. And he and his team are trying to establish new believers and new churches with all of the internal struggles that go with that. Personality clashes and egos and political posturing. It's a true story. Hallelujah. And welcome to ministry.
Yes.
He says in 2 Corinthians 7:5, "For even when we came into Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without fear, fighting without and fear within." Fighting without and fear within. There was the fatigue and the loneliness and the illnesses and the worry over the danger to his teammates. And he wrote a whole letter of it. He mentioned one time that he was afraid that his fellow minister of the gospel would die while he was out ministering with him. It broke his heart to think that that would happen. And an untold number of things, even demons were acting together to kill him and stop the preaching about Jesus. And Paul somehow had to wrestle with all of this and keep on despite all of the pressures and the fears. One thing that kept Paul going when his preaching raised furious opposition were the souls that God did save. No matter how great the persecution, God's word also never failed to liberate the hungry and tenderhearted. Seeing the ones who did accept the message and find salvation in Jesus was enough to warm his heart and give him renewed strength. It says in Acts 18:18 that Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, we can say now he was the old ruler of the synagogue, apparently now kicked out, believed in the Lord together with his entire household, and many of the Corinthians hearing Paul believed and were baptized. And so Paul got encouragement. Amen. His motivation was renewed every time that he saw the glorious gift of God's Spirit poured out. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I get an amen? Amen. It's a wonderful thing to see that happen. And when I haven't seen it in a while, it starts to wear on the spirit. And then there was another thing that encouraged Paul, and it was the visions. There were times when Paul battled with fear and questioned his calling. And I know you're thinking to yourself, Brother Rob, you're really stretching the scripture here. No, I'm not. I'm just pausing. Amen?
Amen.
Why would God say to him in a vision, "Do not be afraid"? He says in 1 Corinthians 2:3, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling." Hallelujah. What was Paul so afraid of? Why was he in such a state of mind when he arrived in Corinth? Because no matter how consequential the initial call and conversation that you had with God was, 100 miles down the road, 100 days later, you're going to need to be encouraged and reminded so that you can keep on going.
Yeah.
Amen. God calls us with grand gestures and handwriting on the wall, and he sends puffy clouds with funky shapes and lightning bolts and voices from heaven. But we need to be reminded sometimes that what we're doing matters. And when we're down in the valley thrashing through the weeds, we need a word from God to get us back on our feet again.
Amen.
Amen.
And even just being in the presence of God. And there were prophets in the Bible, that in Daniel and others, that said that when they came into the presence of God, their own sinfulness was so tragic to them. Prophet after prophet, man of God after man of God. And they would literally fall on their faces just in the presence of God. It was with so much weakness, every ounce of strength drained out of them. And an angel would have to come and touch them and pick them up. Sometimes we need God to pick us up so that we can continue to do what we're called to do.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. The angel said to the prophet Elijah, "The journey is too great for you. Wake up and eat what I'm serving you." Sometimes we need God to cook us up some angel food cake and feed us by the brook. Sometimes we need a raven to come with a piece of meat so that we can be sustained and not quit and not give up, but keep on going, and not only keep on going, but to greater and greater things. The journey is too great for you, minister of the gospel. But our God knows this, and he is going to take care of you when you need him. He is going to be there and encourage you and lift you up. It says in 1 Corinthians 2,
in the next two verses, 4 and 5, and my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and the power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Paul's boldness did not derive from his own strength of character. It did not arise from his great wisdom or oration skills, but God appeared to him on the road to Damascus, and God appeared to him in visions in the night, and it was from these visions that Paul derived his strength to overcome his ministry fears. In all of Paul's journeys, his confidence never rested in anything but his faith in God. He said, hallelujah, you know, I've got plaques on the wall. I've got all these things that I've accomplished and great things I've done, but I count none of those things as anything. To me, they're just garbage for the garbage dump. Take it to the landfill. I just want to know the strength of God. I've got all kinds of infirmities. I've got all kinds of weaknesses that come upon me, but instead of trying to get rid of them, I glory in them so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For I have learned that His grace is sufficient for me. Hallelujah. That His strength is made perfect in my weakness. Woo! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost here. I felt the Holy Ghost when I was teaching the Bible class.
Hallelujah.
If you weren't here for that, you missed it. Amen. You can feel the Holy Ghost all the time, everywhere.
Yes.
Amen. But even though his confidence never rested in anything but his faith in God, even he needed periodic reminders. I'm still with you. You're still doing my work. It says in Acts 18, 9 and 10, the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid, but go on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. Yes. What did Moses say? He said, if you go not with us, we're not going anywhere. No one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people. Paul may have been at the end of his rope. Amen. But wouldn't it have been sad if he quit? He would have given up right before a mega revival. And I wouldn't call what's been happening so far much of a revival. Hallelujah. Pushing through and putting out all that energy will leave you at the brink of a breakdown. But what feels like a breakdown may actually be the brink of a breakthrough. Because breakdowns and breakthroughs feel a lot alike. And it can be easy to get them mixed up. True story. Hallelujah. But don't stop. If it turns that Elijah had a breakdown, hallelujah, so what? God took care of it. If it's a breakdown, let it break it down. Amen. Because God's going to build you back up after He breaks you down. If you need a breakdown, have a breakdown. But God's going to feed you by the brook. God's going to encourage you back to where you need to be. And you're going to be a little wiser. And you're going to be a little bit more anointed. And you're going to be a little bit more trusting. And your faith is going to be a little bit stronger. And you're going to do greater things than you did before. From heaven. It don't matter if you can with one prayer control and stop the rain for 3.5 years and then put your head between your legs and pray, amen, and the rain comes back. You're going to go through times when it's a breakdown, amen, but that's okay. God will take your breakdown and He will build you back better.
Amen.
Hallelujah, but if you give up,
And if it's a breakthrough and you don't know the difference, amen, we don't know the one from the other. And God, if it's a breakthrough, keep going. Amen. Because God is about to blow your mind. He's about to expand the reach of your ministry and grow His church by leaps and bounds. Did you know that God can grow you and expand you through breakdowns or breakthroughs? Amen. Matter of fact, it may be more dangerous during a breakthrough than it is during a breakdown. Because it's when we're succeeding that we're at our greatest danger of failure. My God, we are throwing some truth out here today.
Amen.
True story. And so that's what was happening to Paul. And so what looked like a breakdown turned into the greatest breakthrough of the entire missionary journey that they had been on. And after being falsely accused and beaten and thrown in jail and run out of town after town, and God brought them to Corinth. After all of his suffering for the gospel, God brought Paul and his team finally to a safe place. How many of you know that God is leading us somewhere? We have to be willing to go through the weeds. We have to be willing to climb the mountain. We have to be willing to thrash our way through the valleys. We have to be willing to go through the trials and tribulations. And that refinement and that perfection and the work that we are doing matters. But if you'll hang in there long enough, God will bring you to a place of safety and prosperity and glory. Jacob ran for his life from his vindictive brother because of his own lying schemes. And he spent 7 years in hard labor for his wife Rachel. And then he spent another 7 years in hard labor for his wife Leah. He spent 14 years. You know, one day sounds like too long for us. To be in a church that's going nowhere. To be in a ministry that nobody's paying attention to. One day, one month, one week. Amen. 1 year seems like too long for us to languish and belabor in something that God has called us to that doesn't show any results. But I want to tell you something. In the last 6 years, amen, from 15 to 20, amen, those 6 years after the 14 years of hard labor, God began to prosper Jacob. He paid his debts. He learned his lessons and he began to increase and expand till his flocks were so large that he became the wealthiest man. He even stole all of the flocks of his father-in-law Laban, who had been harassing him. Let me tell you something. God is leading you to a place. Don't short-circuit the process. Don't let your fears overcome your faith. Hallelujah, but let your faith and then grow despite your fears. Hallelujah. And so the gospel is going to prosper here. And they're going to have an 18-month revival campaign. Hallelujah. Amen. More than any of the other places they have been on this missionary journey. And on top of that, God is going to deal a painful blow to the Jews who've been following them around and harassing them from town to town. Once again, the hostile Jewish leaders dragged Paul into Roman court for preaching about Jesus. But Gallio, the proconsul in Corinth, was having none of it. He didn't like the Jews. They were always causing trouble. He wasn't interested in placating them. He did not need their support. He couldn't care less about their religious wrangling. He wasn't about to waste a good afternoon on the greens dealing with these knuckleheads. And as soon as the Jews got done with their accusations and running their mouths, Gallio shut them down and threw the case out of court. And they even took the new ruler of the synagogue who was spearheading the attacks on Paul and beat him right there in front of the judgment seat. Hallelujah, that'll teach them to waste the court's time. Well, come on, somebody. Won't he do it? True story.
Yes,
come on, Paul. Don't be afraid. Go on. Speak the word. Do not be silent.
Amen.
These are common fears that all of us experience. The trials and temptations and persecutions are common to all of us. To second guess is only human. But never forget that God has your back. And He has a plan that He's working. Don't quit now. Let's stand together. Don't quit now. We had a lady in our church in Staten Island. She loved God so much. Her husband was a prince. We called her Sister Stoudemire and Brother Stoudemire. She repented time and again, praying, crying, seeking as Hannah. She was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in water, in the name that is above every name. But for some reason, she couldn't get the Holy Ghost. And she sought after the Holy Ghost for over a decade. I think it was like 18 years. It's a really long time. And everybody pretty much gave up. But she didn't give up. She kept hoping. And you know what? Faithful member of the church, godly woman, we give up a lot quicker than God does. Don't give up. Keep going. And after all those years, frustration and disappointment of not being filled with the Holy, you know, and then probably she probably hated Sister Lois. Get the Holy Ghost first time in church.
Woo, hallelujah.
Come on, Sister Sue, get the Holy Ghost first time in church. I've been looking for seeking for the Holy Ghost for 18 years, bless God. And God finally filled her. And she just said, if I had known it was that easy. She made it harder than it had to be. Oh, did I just bring that initial illustration all the way back around, Brother Stacy? Don't make it harder than it needs to be. It may feel like a breakdown, but God is going to give you a breakthrough.
Amen.
The brother of Jesus, James 5:11, the King James, it says, behold, we count them happy which endure.
Yes.
You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. If you haven't had a breakthrough yet, you're not at the end. Told the prophet Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 2, verse 6, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words. The briars and thorns are with you, and you sit on scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, for they are a rebellious house. But I'll make your face like the face of a flint. Woo! They may come at you. They may strike you in the face. But it's going to throw sparks. It's going to set them on fire. Give your enemies a cup of cold water. What does it do? Don't you love the Word of God? It can go a thousand different directions. But today, we need to consider. There are times, many times, Solomon said this. He said, enjoy the days of rejoicing and goodness that God has given you. But remember the dark days. For there will be many. We must, through many trials, enter into the kingdom. If you haven't had a breakthrough, then God's not finished yet. You're not there yet. Sometimes the end isn't when you get the Holy Ghost. It's not winning souls. Sometimes the end is filled with suffering and pain. The final trial that we face is perfecting us down to the nth degree in boiling out the last bit of impurity before God takes us to our final breakthrough. Let's bow our heads together today, and as the worship team leads us in a chorus, a song right now, I want you to let God encourage you. Hallelujah. You keep doing what you're called to do, and let God sort out the details. You keep preaching Jesus. Let's make a commitment here today. Let's make a determination today that we're not going to quit until we have a breakthrough. And when we have a breakthrough, we're not going to quit either. We're just going to keep going until we reach our reward. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we sing, come on, let's reach out to the Lord and receive this word.